Sun Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Mara Rubin in New York. The Justice Department appoints a special counsel to investigate former President Trump. Skylar Henry has the latest.
Newly appointed special counsel Jack Smith will oversee the Justice Department's investigation into former President Trump's handling of classified documents that were retrieved from his Florida estate. Smith will also take charge of key aspects of a separate probe into the January 6th Capitol insurrection and efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election.
Trump called the appointment political and a disgrace. Thousands in Western New York tonight are without power. WIBB-TV's Tara Lynch reports from Buffalo, where some 4 feet is already on the ground.
Here in Buffalo, you know we love our hockey. You can actually take a yardstick and shoot the snow, and it sticks to walls. It is sticking to our lights, it's sticking to our tripods, so this snow is not something to be messed with, and a big cleanup on the way.
The search continues for who killed 4 college students in Moscow, Idaho. Danya Backus says CBS has learned some of the victims were found sleeping in their bed.
Classes continue at the University of Idaho, but the campus is nearly deserted.
I wish I could go home.
Students still on campus say they're on edge after police walked back a statement saying there was no threat to the community.
It was nerve-wracking to hear them say that we are no longer, like, totally safe.
Police say they believe the victims were targeted. They're working with 2 surviving roommates who were home during the attack but are not considered suspects.
As Elon Musk is scrambling to prevent Twitter from collapsing after hundreds of employees quit, CNET's Ian Schur says users should be concerned about their info being hacked or leaked.
The information that Twitter gathers when they log into their account, even just knowing some of that basic information, could reveal their identities.
The founder of the failed blood testing company Theranos has been sentenced to more than 11 years in prison. Len Ramirez was at the courthouse in San Jose for sentencing.
Elizabeth Holmes stood up in front of Judge Edward Davila moments before he imposed the punishment. Red-faced and teary-eyed, Holmes told the court she has, quote, deep pain for what people went through because I failed them. To each of them, I am so, so sorry I gave everything I had to save the company, end quote.
There's bad blood between Taylor Swift and Ticketmaster over ticket sales to her concert tour. Taylor Swift says it was excruciating to watch fans struggle to buy tickets. She says Ticketmaster assured her they could handle the demand. This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
Finding the right Medicare plan? Oof, no easy feat. Kind of like those dances my granddaughter loves making me do. But then I found Walgreens FindRx coverage. Lets you compare plans online, over the phone, or in person. Made Medicare shopping so easy. Plus, I found plans with low-cost copays. I can get down with that. When you need to talk Medicare, Walgreens is here. Start shopping today at walgreens.com/Medicare.
Okay, can I have everybody's attention for just a second?
Morgan's media planning firm just landed a multi-million dollar client.
Because we won the pitch.
She needs to staff up before trafficking hits a traffic jam.
So we're going to need research, planning, buying, obviously, and probably data analytics.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Snow likely, overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 13, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, snow likely, highs level off around 21. Partly cloudy skies, tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 3 above. About an inch of snow overnight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 15.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out devilradio927.com.
The top of the hour, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to As Goes Wisconsin and Waukesha, Wausau, Oshkosh, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and Madison, and I'm your host, Philip Morris, filling in for Kristen Bry. Feel free to call or text anytime here to 844-967-2789. And so in this hour, we're going to talk about some more random things because it's a wonderful Friday. I'd love to say that we are seeing snow, but we are seeing snow, but we're not seeing sun.
No, we're not seeing any sun.
Hopefully we'll get a little glimpse. You know, it's not as gray as it could be. And so as we get into this hour, you know, there are a couple of things out here that come to top of my mind here. And one of the big ones here is the state of public education. And I know I'm sure a lot of people here around the state are recognizing that we've got the teacher shortage. We've got all kinds of things happening in the classroom. We got things happening at the administrative level. But the big thing that I've been hearing, and I was actually one digging into it because I have three kids, two kids in the elementary level and one that will soon be in the elementary level, those DPI results, the Department of Public Instruction, those proficiencies and those results that came out this week were startling for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And here come, April when we have school board elections coming up again. And I know even in my municipality in Wauwatosa, I think there's going to be at least 4 seats open. I think there's going to be some heads on the chopping block and people that are going to be looking in different directions at the superintendent and at the school boards all across the state, because proficiencies in math and language, they were okay, but they're declining.
It's not good.
No.
It really isn't good. And certainly kids lost a lot of ground during the pandemic. And I can't imagine. I mean, well, you were home with your kids mm-hmm. during the pandemic and trying to work.
It was tough. They not only trying to work, but trying to be as good as a classroom teacher.
Sure.
You know, whether it was the days we had to do things on our own while we worked or give the attention to our work and the same amount of attention to our kids on a brand new laptop or a county or school issued laptop that they've never seen before. And to get a 5 or 6 or 7 year old up to speed in a day or two to now participate on a Zoom that they've never seen before and to be able to recognize all the things that come that we're seeing from as business professionals being on a screen. That's not how kids learn.
No, it's not.
And it's not, I don't personally think it's not optimal for it. You know, if it's a one-off, there are opportunities. Hey, if you're sick and this is a way we can get you to interact, we can pull these things in. It's no different than the e-gaming and that kind of stuff, but not for every day. And I understand that there are virtual schools and things out there for, you know, kids with certain circumstances, but I'm talking about for the masses. I don't think that our communities statewide, I don't care if you're in Beaver Dam, Black River Falls, Onalaska, Milwaukee, Kenosha, Beloit, doesn't matter. We can't afford for our communities to go down, because we all know one thing that's as sure as death and taxes, and we're going to talk about taxes. Your communities go down and your schools go down. The quality of the education for those kids and those families, people will up and move, and that migration will be to someplace else where there are better schools.
Yes.
That is without a doubt a fact.
And the fact is going to remain that and I don't know enough personally about the voucher program and, and all of those things, but private schools are going to remain out of reach for many, many people.
That's right.
Right? It's never going to, they're never going to open their doors for everyone. I just don't see that happening. And we need our public schools. We need teachers. It breaks my heart the way that this state demonized teachers and made them the enemies. And then to go through the pandemic and parents having to take on those responsibilities and hopefully gaining a little bit more appreciation for what it is that teachers do. But I don't think that's translated to appreciation or compensation.
No, I think you're 100% correct there. You know, if I ever get elected to anything at this state or in any state or anywhere else, I tell people the two places that will get a significant pay increase are the teachers and our police and firefighters.
Yeah.
Because I don't, they're two different, you know, ends of the spectrum, but they matter most in our communities. They're the ones who take care of us. The teachers take care of us inside the school to make sure that our kids have some place that is safe. In some place that you don't have to worry. And, you know, I know all these bad things happen with these school shootings and everything else, and those are very unfortunate. But your kids should never feel unsafe. They shouldn't ever feel any type of way when it comes to their teacher. That should be the number one person. And I grew up, you know, in a smaller town, not a small town, in Florida. And to this day, and, you know, and she's not doing so well, but my third grade teacher was one of the most important people in my life. I remember my second grade teacher, she was good. My fourth and fifth grade teachers were pretty awesome, but my third grade teacher, Mrs. Wiggins, was one of the most incredible people. And she followed, when Facebook came out, she followed me on Facebook all these years later.
Wow.
And she would chime in, and she had an unfortunate accident hiking a few years ago, and now she's battling some dementia. So I put all the love and prayers out there to her and her family because I went to school with her daughter. But those teachers matter.
What was it about Mrs. Wiggins in particular that you remember?
She cared.
And how did she...
The care, whether you were doing something right or doing something wrong, you always knew where you stood because she was authentic, she was honest, and she was fair. She would take the time to come and, you know, bring you to the side. If there's something that, you know, she didn't agree with, it was never anything punitive. Yes, you might have gotten in trouble, but you still had... You felt safe in the sense that it was... She took the time, and she had the care, custody, and control of the situation to make sure that you learned something and that she was still there for you. You weren't left out in the cold. You weren't abandoned. You know, I see a lot of teachers, and by the time I got to high school, I had a lot of teachers that were in their, you know, and it's no knock on a teacher in their 20s. My sister-in-law out in Middleton, Madison, is a teacher, was a teacher, still works in the school system. But teachers have a tremendous amount of pressure on them by the parents, and they have a tremendous amount of pressure on them by their community because they're stretched thin. They're stretched thin by the paycheck because when they subtract and do the math and, you know, divide their hours that they spent, they're trading more than time for money.
Oh, yeah.
They're giving themselves up to this, to the job, and they're not getting anything for it. I said, but at the same token, they burn out a whole lot quicker. You know, a teacher, the teachers back then, I remember I look back, I thought teachers were young when I was in school. They were in their late 40s and 50s, but they were career teachers. Now you meet if you meet a teacher that's got 10 years in, I mean, more power to you.
Yeah.
I give you high praise because a lot of them don't make it past 2, 3, 4 years.
Well, the dynamic has changed so much.
Very much.
Again, I'm at the very end of the baby boom, and our teachers were the rulers.
Mm-hmm.
And if my teacher called my mother, she would believe the teacher regardless. There was no, Jane, what's your side of the story? I didn't have a side of the story.
That's right.
The teacher was the authority figure whose word was taken. Now, I don't have kids, but I think parents stick their nose in too much sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
They do. And assuming Billy or Susie or Jenny or Eric are always innocent and being there to be their lawyer... I don't know. I don't know that that's doing a service for our children.
I would agree there in that sense. And I'm guilty of it. You know, if the school called and said, Dane did something here, my first thought is like, I want the whole story. I need to know what happened. I need all the details. I need to know what's what. But then I've learned over these, you know, I've only had a couple of years to learn this.
Right.
And as a parent, a new parent, it's a learning curve. But you have to learn quickly that the teachers are there to do a job, a hard job, a job that we learned in 2020. I absolutely do not want. I was hell-bent on if something was going to change and we were going to go back into lockdown, oh, we were buying a teacher. We were going to the school system to find, all right, it's going to be highest bidder.
We need our own.
We will have our own. I am not doing, I have all the respect for those who have the time, patience, and the glory within to be homeschool parents. I couldn't do it. I'd close the door, I'd walk out, drive away, and probably not come back if I had to do that all day, every day, 5 days a week, and to make sure that they survived for K through 12, because that's incredibly hard. That's a lot. It's a big task. And I know there are circumstances where people do that for whatever their reasons are, but it shouldn't be equally hard for those teachers in the classroom. And parents have to get out of the way.
Yes, they do. And our teachers should not have to be paying out of pocket for school supplies.
100%. 100%. I'm the first one, you know, any type of picnic or event. And we are very fortunate. We live in Wauwatosa and have a great school district. And our public schools are outstanding. I know the difference between going a half a mile just east of us into a Milwaukee public school. They don't have the resources that we do. They don't hold the events and have the fundraisers that we do. They don't have the bash. They don't have
the science fairs, right?
Oh my gosh, forget a science fair. They don't have a science program in some cases in some of these schools where we have, we had a referendum and spent millions of dollars and built a new school and did this and did that. And we added a STEM program inside the school and we have a STEM lab and we have new furniture. We have all these things. But when you look at the things that our kids across the state, whether it's rural communities or in the city of Milwaukee or down in Beloit or Kenosha, no matter where it is, those kids deserve to have the resources. And they also deserve to have a quality of teacher that doesn't have to deal with the politics.
Absolutely.
Because the politics in the classroom, I think that's where those teachers hit their boiling points and they can't get out of the way because now they're bound by the bureaucracy of the, you know, administration and the layers and the red tape and all of this other stuff. And I think if we can let teachers teach, put the students first and let that cycle of the ecosystem inside the classroom, inside the walls of that school and into the district, that's how you restore our public school systems. Because I don't know, and I've been reading these articles, there's some really good articles, but I don't know if throwing more money at the schools, not the teachers, but at the schools and at the system and creating more layers is the answer. If you want to tell me I want to fix the budget and every teacher is going to get a 60% increase and they're going to be paid, you know, all throughout the year, there's none of this, you know, I don't know all the rules out there and, well, they don't get paid summers, they get paid partial, they can stretch it. No, no, no. They spend a lot more hours than 40 hours a week with those kids. And I am extremely happy to say that, you know, I'm very proud and very satisfied with the teachers that my kids have had because they put that time. And I think there's so many places that the teachers, just like the parents, don't have the time because they'll say, I've got to teach to the test. I've got to follow this that I got from curriculum and instruction and instructional design. The director of this and the director of that said we have to cover these things. And it became more about us checking something off and saying that we did it versus making it about putting that student first so that everybody can have that experience with Mrs. Wiggins like I did.
While we're talking about Mrs. Wiggins, Brooke, real quickly, who was your favorite teacher that you remember having a big influence on you?
Oh my gosh, I was hoping you were going to ask me this. I was just, as you guys were talking about it, I pulled up her Facebook because we're friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. She was my first grade teacher. And she, oh my gosh, when I talk about her, I literally get emotional because she is one of the best people I have ever known. She had such an impact on my life. And like, she used to have like bunnies in the classroom. And after that, I always wanted a bunny. I ended up with a 50-pound dog, but
almost a bunny.
I always loved animals after that. And now she rescues kittens. She turned half of her house into like a little, like sanctuary for cats. Like, what an incredible person. And she works at some of the fairs sometimes in the summer, so I always go and I hunt her down and I find her. And every time we see each other, she's like, you look the same as when you were about six.
That's right.
What's her name?
Mrs. Het.
All right, Mrs.
Shout out to Mrs. Het and shout out to Miss Zarin, who was my fifth grade teacher. She told me I could write and I had a way with words and she changed my life.
That's right. All right, we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
We
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 15 overnight. Under cloudy skies, southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance of snow. Daytime highs approaching 24. Lows dip down to about 7 above tomorrow night. Mainly clear skies. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
All right, and we are back here after the break here. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Call or text anytime at 844-967-2789. And so, again, I'm going to jump around because this is a random Friday, and we're going to have some fun. I got more questions for Gen Z, so I hope all of our listeners here are getting a learning experience here. And I got a simple question here because I hear a lot of comments about Gen Z because they're so sensitive, and they're sensitive about everything, and they're this, that, and the other. So I have a simple question, and Brooke, you tell me, is Gen Z, are they hypersensitive or are they morally attentive?
Ooh, this is where I'm like really split because I feel like in some ways both.
Okay.
Like I feel like looking at like sometimes when I like watch the things my parents used to watch, because I feel like I am an old soul in the way of like the music I listen to and I like the stuff I watch that my parents used to watch and stuff like that. And some of that stuff, like I'll find it funny or I'll find it interesting. And then like later I'll hear like people are really mad about it. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes don't always see the harm in it. Mm-hmm. But then in the same breath, there are things where that like people should absolutely be mad about that I also get mad about. So it's hard. I don't know. I think it just varies with each situation because there are definitely things that I'm like, I feel like we are just wanting to be angry about something and this is the wrong thing to be angry about. And there are moments where I was like, that person said something really awful, racist, homophobic, whatever it was, and we should be pissed. Sorry, can I say that on the air, Jane? Okay.
Well, you did now, honey. It's okay.
yeah, I'm very split on that. I think it really just depends on each situation.
Okay.
I think that's a real balanced look at it, though, Brooke. I really do. And I would I do think in some instances, yes, you guys are hyper prickly about things. And yet at the same time, you're right. There are things that we should absolutely be outraged about.
Mm-hmm. You know, now I have to flip it to you, Jane. From your generation down through the Gen Xers and even to the top side of the millennials, you know, but thinking of those that are Gen Xers and above, are they not sensitive enough and morally void when it comes to the sensitivities of how those Gen Zs or those younger millennials are feeling?
That's a great question, Philip. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some of it is, if you are in a position of comfort, mm-hmm. that gives you a much different perspective.
Okay.
So if you are economically stable, if you are financially stable, if you have a stable job and a place to live and all of those things, you're going to have a much different outlook on what's fair, what's not fair, right? This is just, this is not just, because it affects you differently.
This is true.
So I think a lot of it is going to have to do with your circumstances.
I think you're right. And I just had this conversation with relatives of mine in Florida last week. And we were talking about this in the sense of, and I'm very aware and very empathetic to that space of, if you asked me these same things 10 years ago, I'd have a different answer. If you asked me these 20 years ago, when I was much younger, I'd have a significantly different answer. And I'm wondering if we're just in a space where we have so much between the demographics between each generation, because we have a very large and a very prominent and a very vocal Gen Z, the younger ones, that, you know, are not going to sit back and just be quiet and silent. But then we have very analytical, the ones that can straddle the fence on, that are both analog and digital in the millennial world. But then you have the purely analog, the 8-track, the floppy disk, the old school that said, hey, we did it without anything. When you look at the generations in those spaces, regardless of what the time frame are, is it something that you learn? And it's the first time we've really had 3-4 generations that are actually communicating, because we have the ability to, and we have the technology to communicate with each other near instantly. Because how I thought, where I'm at today in my corporate job and the things that I do, put me in a position, like you said, Jane, to make very different decisions, because I am more than comfortable. But then when I'm with, you know, my relatives that are not so comfortable, I can understand where they are and I can meet them where they're at. And I think there's so many things between the Gen Zs, the millennials, and even the Gen Xers that we have an inability to meet each other where we are and understand that Gen Z's perspective, it's not overly sensitive. It's attentive because they're paying attention to all the parts. And the sum matters to them as much as the parts do. Whereas as you go up and you learn more, the parts are more important just because that's that specialization. Well, I only care about healthcare. I only care about education. I only care about law enforcement. I only care about these things because of the comfort of where we are. And so I have more thoughts on that. And I think there's, Brooke, I think you've got a lot of things, because I'm going to ask you on the, after we connect for the next break,
no,
I have one.
No pressure, Brooke. We're just putting all of the next half of the show is on you.
Well, I got to put it on her because it's making me, it's giving me more faith in Gen Z from a space, because again, we don't get all the time with them every day. I work with one Gen Z, and then outside of that one person, I'm the next youngest at 40. And there's a big gap because the rest of my company is 50 plus. And so they look at me in a different way. And so I think that there's some things to be learned here. And I think when we get into it, you're going to really, I'm saying this, I'm making an assumption that you're either going to really like my next question or really hate it. So we're going to find out here after we come back from the next break. But Jane, I think you will remember this, because it's going to go old school. And I like that you said, Brooke, that you were kind of an old soul and you watched and you listened and you got to experience things that your parents did. And so when we come back from this next break, I think we're going to get a little juicy here. So we're going to go to a break here. We'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
Fly your team flag.
Down he goes, another sack.
Cue up, jump around, and rep your Cardinal and white Bucky gear.
He's gone, all the way.
It's Badger football.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Let's go.
Six more on the board for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin battles Nebraska for the Freedom Trophy in Lincoln. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
All over America, people are taking the national radon test. Have you? Answer true or false. Radon is a radioactive gas. True.
I didn't know that, no.
True or false? The Office of the Surgeon General recommends that all homes be tested for radon. True, your home should be tested. True or false, radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer. True.
I'm gonna dial the number and call.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
Keep your family safe from radon. Call now.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about? And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number? 1-800-662-HELP. What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral. Or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Snow likely, overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 13, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 21. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 3 above. About an inch of snow overnight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 15.
Brooke here, our in-house resident Gen Z. She's got all the answers, and she's speaking for the. She's the voice of a generation.
No pressure, Brooke.
No pressure at all. So I'm going to go to one that. You know, some may say it's lighthearted, but I got this is a really serious question here.
Oh, gosh.
the favorites of yesteryear. And Jane, chime in here. You probably know these names, and I'm going to test your knowledge of some of this old school stuff here, because I want to know about, go back to sensitivity. Johnny Quest. Hong Kong Phooey. Tom and Jerry. The Mr. Magoo Show. The Simpsons. South Park.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I watch South Park a lot now, even.
Okay. Do you like South Park?
I do.
Do you like any of those other ones?
Yeah, I like... So I used to watch Tom and Jerry. I don't now. And then... What was one you said right after that?
After Tom and Jerry, the Mr. Magoo Show. That's a very old one.
I used to watch that with my... So back when I was like... just starting school, that was like something we'd watch, me and my sisters, like early in the morning.
Okay.
My dad would play it. But I honestly didn't know what it was until like you just like revamped a memory in my brain.
Sure. Jane, did you watch any of these?
Oh, of course.
All right.
I loved Johnny Quest.
Yes, same here.
I loved Johnny Quest because I wanted to be Adventure Girl. And he was Adventure Kid.
That's right. And then we had so many things that we, you know, whether you learned them or not, and things that you took had takeaways. I said, those were my fond Saturday morning memories from growing up. You know, even growing up in the South, those were, I thought were good things. And so when you get into the hypersensitivity of what we are feeling, that we think that the Gen Zs and everybody with the cause and, you know, whatever parts that are out there, if it's animated, is it still racist?
See, that is, I always struggle with this. My mom, I've asked her this, we've talked about this. She says no. Okay. I always listen to what my mom says, so I also say no. And some of the stuff I don't take offense to, but then some stuff I do, I'm like, maybe you shouldn't have said that. But like, I don't, honestly, I have struggled with this question so much. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't ask my dad because, well, my dad's white and I don't want his opinion, to be perfectly honest, but I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
Sure. And so, and Jane, I'll pose the same to you. And I say this at the risk of getting trashed by South Park people and all the fans out there. This is not meant that way. It was, but when you really think about, South Park is funny, no matter how you look at it. You know, all these shows had humor, had different things, but there are some things that lend that could be one way or the other. But I ask that question, if it's animated, is it racist? Inherently, it might be. You know, there's an episode at South Park where they say the N-word 42 times. Mm. I didn't count, but it's out there and it's been out there. I said, and most people that have seen that episode will say, and even the critics say, well, it was calling light to a word of negative connotation to make it less negative. And it's, you know, whether it's, you know, the two characters that are not offended by it in the show. But I link all this up to a lot of what we're hearing right now in the cancel culture, and a lot of what we're hearing now in the, you know, the spaces of the what we're seeing in basketball, what we're seeing in music, what we're seeing across the board in a lot of spaces with anti-Semitism. And I said, you know, we're seeing real people and we're seeing real things, and we're saying that we're hearing the rhetoric in all these places, whether it's Dave Chappelle, whether it's Kyrie Irving, whether it's Kanye, there's stuff being said all over this country by all kinds of people behind closed doors, behind the microphone, all this, that, and the other. And I don't condone any of it, but I have to ask the question there is that have we come to, as we go through those generations again, are there hypersensitivities at different levels at a different age? Because I'm very curious on, with a lot of this, whether it's the animated series from yesteryear or the animated series from today or the rhetoric that's going on, what are Gen Z's thoughts out there on things that are happening?
So when it comes to like things that are animated, like there are like things that I see that are coming out now that I feel like are saying things that could be seen as questionable. Like there's like Bob's Burgers or Big Mouth or something like that.
Yes.
I don't watch that one, but my mom does. And I feel like the people that do find those shows funny are usually people that are older than me. I don't really watch a lot of animated stuff anymore, but I have noticed like my dad, my stepdad, my mom, my older cousins, like they all like watch those kind of like animated shows that are for adults. That some people could say like, just because it's a cartoon, it's still racist, it's still this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because it is different when it is like a celebrity, like Kanye saying something that he shouldn't say, or any human being saying it. Like it does strike a different chord with me than like if it's a cartoon that I'm watching.
Jane, what are your thoughts out there?
Well, I have to admit, I have never seen South Park or The Simpsons.
Oh my.
Never. Not one episode.
You've probably added time to your life then.
Yes. I've never seen Married with Children. I've never seen...
Oh, I love that show.
A lot of things that were at the top of the pop culture did not appeal to me. And So I've never seen them. Certainly, I think that things that, if what you're saying is wrong, whether it's drawn or it's live, does it matter?
That's the question of the day. You know, and I think a lot of people, I've had this conversation a couple of times in the last week, and then it's just only gotten exacerbated. And so I think they're all constructive conversations because it leads us all to learn something. And I get very curious on what others think, because I don't want to make assumptions about anybody, because sometimes you might hear a joke that maybe sometimes you're in proximity that you weren't supposed to hear. But now what are my thoughts? Are they forever changed about the person I was telling those? And am I thinking different about how I approach them, or do I approach them or have interactions at all? And I think, for the sake of not being overly or hypersensitive in all generations, I think we have to come to grips on with what these things are and either have a complete understanding and a complete agreement that right is right and wrong is wrong. And especially if it's wrong, it's wrong no matter what it is, and draw a line there. Because if we don't, then it's okay. Because we just said, hey, we won't say it as real people. We'll just create an animated series that we can do it over there. Or we'll just create a comic, because it's just you know, a story. It's just make-believe, right? I think there's a very fine line, is it? And it's not very far from, you know, the propaganda of the day of yesteryear, from, you know, war times or whatever it might be, of how they disseminated information. And I think, and I've talked with folks, said it comes down to who your audience is and how are they receiving these and how they are accepting these. And is what you're saying, what you might be saying is a joke, do they believe it's the gospel? Do they believe this is real life? Oh, and if you're higher profile, if LeBron James said it, it's serious. It's real. If Donald Trump says it, it's real. Doesn't matter who the base is. What matters is that there is a base and that there's somebody that's going to believe it. And whether that's one somebody or 10 million somebodies, going back to the Swifties and the Bayhive, when you get out there, you have to be very, I won't say cautious, because I think we have become a little sensitive on those things. Yes, the show All in the Family that my grandparents used to love would never make it today.
But you know what, though, Philip? It was so groundbreaking, and Norman Lear addressed things that no one would talk about.
That's right.
And it was cringeworthy then, and it remains cringeworthy.
Yes.
You know, Brooke, I'm curious, do you and your friends ever go see comics? Do you ever go see stand-up comics?
I have never seen a comic before. I've wanted to, but I just haven't. I don't think any of them have either, as far as I know. I feel like that's not very common.
I think she's right, Jane, because I go see a lot of stand-up comics, and I don't look around the room, whether it's the Improv, whether it's the Northern Lights Theater, whether it's a theater in Chicago. Not many younger ones.
You don't see younger. That's really interesting. No. Because it would be just interesting to see what you thought was acceptable material from this comic.
Well, I think that I've watched stuff on TV, like Dave Chappelle, like I watched that, but I've never like been in a room and then watched someone tell jokes. I think it is more common for people my age to watch it later on TV or
YouTube or something.
Yeah, because a lot of people I've heard people that are my age be mad about certain things that comics have said on TV or whatever, but I just have never really gotten into that. Like,
doesn't speak to you.
Yeah. Like, all the stuff that I, you know, speaking to, like, when I said I was an old soul and I watched, like, all this old stuff, I actually looked at a list of stuff that I have watched, and it was a lot of, like, girly movies. It was never really, like, cartoons. It was, even when I was really young, it was always, like, The Heathers, or, like, I really loved Beetlejuice, or The Labyrinth is my favorite movie, The Color Purple is my favorite movie, Can't Buy Me Love. Like, those are the things that, like, I was watching, because I feel like I don't know, I resonated with those more.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have to worry about that when I was watching those things.
You know, again, these are learnings here. I'm getting a better perspective of where, not the animus or the negativity comes from, that's out there in the universe, from anybody, because it's everywhere. I mean, we're in a time in our lives here in 2023, soon to become 2023, that information travels so quickly, and most of us are not seeking long form information to go out and go to the Encyclopedia Britannica and sit down and read chapters. It's our TikToks, it's our Facebook, it's our Instagram, it's imagery, it's pictures, it's stuff that's on the go. And so the conversations, and I like your point there, Jane, when it comes to, you know, groundbreaking things that were controversial. It might have been the first time. And we still have those moments. There were shows pre-pandemic and during pandemic that brought to light things that we probably would have never talked about in certain circles. But now people have had a lens of that. And I'm hoping from a lot of this stuff that we're hearing that it's at least opening up dialogues where people can ask more questions and find out why. And find out why, if someone does feel a certain way or think a certain way, where'd they get that from? Because sometimes it's just correcting the narrative. It's no different than anything else that we see in society.
But I think for some older people, and especially boomers, because there is so much sensitivity, I'm not going to ask the question.
This is true.
I have lots of questions, and I'm not going to ask them, because if I do, I'm going to get pilloried for it.
I could see that. The a woman I met on a flight, and this was last year, she called it the Paula Deen syndrome. She goes, I have questions. I'm going to ask them, but the moment I do, it's going to open a can of worms. It's going to put me in a bad light, and then I can never get out. I can never get out from that. I'm going to be labeled, and I'm going to have the scarlet letter on here because
forever.
I'm this person. And I said, that is true, and it's unfortunate. I said, because we don't give people the grace to get out of the way of, you know, the incoming dagger. It's like, you wanted me to ask the question, so when I ask the question, now you're mad, and now I'm demonized for it. But you asked me to ask. You told me, "Hey, this was a safe space."
Right.
And then you
rescinded it.
That's right. And that, which makes it sometimes worse. Like, oh my gosh, because now I feel like, or somebody's telling me that I should feel so bad about this, and it gets into a lot of topics that, you know, a lot of people are pushing on the children. And that stuff, that's what hits near and dear to me, because I start thinking about some of these pieces out there of what goes into the school system, what is coming from the teachers of the time, and you know, I can't answer all questions, and I've sat with it, and I've sat with my wife, and I've sat with and talked with my mom and different, you know, people that have kids of varying ages, and I think we've all come to the same thing. It's like, we're not going to talk about it right now. We want to talk about it, but not right now, and nobody has an answer on, well, when do we talk about it? I don't know, but it's not right now.
But it's not now.
And, you know, when you have kids, you're like, because I'll tell you, Jane, kids, when they say kids have, you know, come up with the darndest questions, they certainly do.
And they'll just blurt it out.
And I find myself like, don't ask any questions. I don't want to know about that. I'm going to go be over here. Go read a book. Redirect. But they have really valid questions of all parts of life because they're observant. They're absorbing. They're hearing. And when they hear something, the natural thing is to ask what, who, where, why. I don't know. I want you to tell me. And I find it very awkward sometimes where like an 8-year-old comes up and asks you a question. I'm like, especially if it's not your own kid. I know the answer, but I'm not going to give you the answer because I don't know if I should tell you this now. I think you should learn this when you're like 12 or 13, or maybe your parents could tell you. And then, you know, we're all friends. They go ask their parents, and the parents call me and like, what did you say? I'm like, I didn't say a thing. I redirected them to you.
Yeah. Well, they're yours.
That's right.
Right.
And then depending on what they tell them may conflict with what I tell my own. And that's where, I think that's where we run into these brick walls. And I think the dynamic we're seeing with the Gen Z and the millennials and the kids of the millennials and the kids of the Gen Xers is, when did they get that information? Because there was a level of resilience and perseverance and level of understanding. I love and I laugh at everything I see on TikTok and Instagram of the Gen Xers being the strongest ones right now. They took, you know, no crap from anybody. They went and jumped on their bike and rode off into the sunrise for the entire day, 900 miles. And well, the millennials, they did the same, but they had to wait 45 minutes to put on all their headgear and helmets and this other stuff. And well, the Gen Zs just aren't going to do it, period, because they've got an app for that, and they're going to jump into the, you know, whatever the vehicle of the day is that's going to take them to where they're going. So I just think it draws on a lot of things that make us want to ask those questions. So we're going to come back to some more good stuff here as we're wrapping up things here soon. So we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 15 overnight under overcast skies. Winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Chance of snow. Daytime highs approaching 24. Lows dip down to about 7 above tomorrow night. Mainly clear skies. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
And I'm not talking about...
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Blackshirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your play.